Item 21, the enforcement report. Mr. Robertson?
So on the enforcement report, our enforcement coordinator, Harvey Packard, will provide some information.
Thank you. I'm Harvey Packard, the enforcement coordinator. And again, this report is mainly for, well, it's a written report, and I'm happy to answer questions and discuss things in more detail if needed. I do want to point out a couple of things, though. The executive officer signed two ACL orders in the last couple months. One was against Bradley Land Company in the Santa Maria area for an illegal discharge to waters of the United States in the form of modifying a water body. And the other one was to the city of San Luis Obispo for spills from its wastewater systems. So those were two ACLs that we recently took action on. There was a typo in the written report on the second bullet regarding the city of San Luis Obispo. It references Bradley Land Company instead of San Luis Obispo, so I'll point that out.
Okay.
And
but just to clarify, the fine that's listed there refers to San Luis Obispo. The fine was $57,000 plus.
Yeah, right. Okay. That's for San Luis Obispo. But other than that, I'll be happy to answer questions.
Okay. Mr. Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Here's where I go into my year of honeymoon, right? So I was curious as to how you actually go through the process of setting a dollar amount for the fines. And in particular, on the Bradley Land Company, that actually made news up and down the South Coast, I recall. But where somebody's altered a waterway, and correct me if I'm wrong, it appears that the altered waterway remains, although they have mitigation and monitoring and replanting from the fish and game permit. And they've seen I would presume they've seen a gain on that property from the alteration, because that's obviously, I would presume, why they did it. How does that, particularly in that instance, also figure into the dollar amount of the fine based on the gain they see for the rest of their lives?
Right. Hey, you've hit on some important points there. We start with the maximum allowed under the law. So,
Harvey, this is an already adopted order, right?
Yes.
You're talking about, okay.
Right.
Thank you.
So yeah, we can talk all about it if we want, right?
Yes.
But, and for instance, with Bradley Land Company, we calculate the maximum based on the water code provisions, which state that it's illegal to fill waters of the United States, and there's a penalty based on the number of days that the activity occurs. It's $10,000 per day, and the number of gallons of waste that's discharged to the water body. And we can calculate or estimate the volume of soil that was placed in these water bodies and come up with a maximum potential penalty using that. And so that's where we start. And often those numbers are very high, millions of dollars. I don't remember what it was for this one. And then the water code requires that we take into account a variety of other factors, including one that you mentioned, the gain, the financial gain that the violator made by making or by doing the violations. In fact, the water code says that the penalty has to be at least the amount of financial gain. So that's definitely an important consideration. These violations are several years old, and since we came up with the numbers here, the State Water Board has come up with a new enforcement policy that makes the process of recommending penalty amounts a lot more clear and a lot more transparent. There's a methodology that is put forth in the policy that specifies a whole number of factors that we go through when coming up with a recommended penalty amount. And we'll get into that at some point when we bring a penalty action to the board for consideration.
So I'd actually see the math.
You would see all the math.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other board comments or questions?
I have a comment.
We have one card.
I would just say that I want to hold my questions on the ag, update on the ag for the executive officer report, so we can kind of
do two
focus,
at once.
Focus okay. on those issues
okay.
at that time.
I have one card, Mr. Barrow, Al Barrow.
Good morning. How are you? My name is Al Barrow, Coalition for Low Income Housing, and I just scanned your item 21 enforcement, and I noticed that I'm from Los Osos. One of the items is Monarch Grove. That was a 88-unit subdivision that you approved a wastewater treatment plant for, which has, according to staff, and I know from my own experience, a record of failure. The design of the treatment plant does not meet the standard of effluent that you gave them. The company that's monitoring this is Wallace Group. Wallace Group was also involved in the Oceana spills and the controversy of a great deal of pollution that occurred. And it says here basically that you're just, you know, going to let them tweak this system and, you know, try to keep it into some kind of close to the discharge limits. It says here that the limit is 22 milligrams per liter and that the total nitrogen, and that they're averaging closer to 32 milligrams per liter total nitrogen. That's on page 18 of your staff report. And it just strikes me as uneven-handed that you would destroy a monarch, allow that a monarch grove with a very good grove with a lot of monarch butterflies to let this 88-unit project come into play and then allow them consistently to violate their discharge permits while you're issuing CDOs threatening our citizens in the prohibition zone, $5,000 a day fines retroactive to 1988. So I guess my point that I'm making is that the enforcement policy seems very unequal. And in my public comment, I'll give you more information on new issues that have taken place in Los Osos. But it's disturbing to me that Monarch Grove, who had a violation of 5,000 gallons of raw sewage and got a small fine and had to buy some bags for doggy bags around the bay, is treated in this manner. And they are a very effluent portion of our community, very high, very expensive housing. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Barrow. Perhaps we could get a little information from staff. Is anyone here that is well versed with this item?
I'm looking at Harvey.
Well, I don't know if I can provide a whole lot more information. David Licaro is the project manager for that facility. You may recall that the board did take enforcement action against Monarch Grove several years ago for similar violations. They not only do they have the 22 milligram per liter limit, but they also are required to not apply more than the nutrient needs of the golf course and the disposal areas. So the idea is that the nitrogen is used on the golf course and on the turf and not discharged into groundwater. But I don't have any more information at this minute about those particular violations.
Well, what I'm curious about is we've got two different instances, both of which significantly exceed the nitrogen standard in the permit, and apparently they are having difficulty with their operation in terms of meeting that standard, and I don't see what is contemplated for them to do to bring their discharge into compliance.
Right. I don't know. I'd have to talk to Dave and see what his communication has been with the plant and what they're planning to do.
Maybe David is listening and we'll hop downstairs.
Maybe what?
David is listening. Sometimes staff is monitoring.
We'll see if we can get him.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would also like to comment.
Go ahead.
Just as an aside, mm-hmm. I think the issue Mr. Barrow raises about taking a closer look at the performance of the Wallace Group, if they're involved in managing and operating or reporting on meeting a technical standard, we've seen some really poor performance by the Wallace Group, and it came out in a very public way through reporting by staff. Because the system itself suppressed the information, and the folks who stepped out were very courageous and have since lost their jobs as a result. So we know that the Wallace Group is pretty entrenched, and if they are poor performance in to the degree that they were in Oceano, I think we need to, that should, you know, trigger concern on our part when we see the Wallace Group involved, especially in the Los Osos area where nitrogen is such an urgent concern. So I would like to see follow-up by staff to assure that the reports that we're getting out of, with any reports that are generated through the Wallace Group management process, be looked at very carefully.
Okay, we can do that.
Should this come back to the board, I guess, with some information?
Yeah. Contemplating maybe in an EO report item?
If David's not available to answer questions, maybe at our next board meeting we could get additional information on what the status is on their efforts to improve their ability to comply with their permit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Any other board questions or comments on the enforcement report?
He's here.
He is here. Okay.
And here's Dave LaCaro.
Speak of the devil.
Welcome.
Okay.
Sure. Okay. Good morning, members of the board. David LaCaro, staff member. Sorry, I've been running around upstairs. Got a couple inspections this afternoon, so just kind of heard the tail ends of this. With respect to the violations for Monarch Grove, at this point they have a very small, tiny facility right there at the edge of the golf course, and they've been constantly tweaking their treatment system to bring down those levels of total nitrogen. They're having some issues, really, because they're having a lot of dissolved oxygen concentrations in their influent. And what's happening is that it's making it very difficult for the operators to denitrify, basically trying to bring down some of that nitrogen. So that as a result, of course, they're running into issues from the operation standpoint and really just trying to deal with the best treatment system they have. Some of the issues more recently that they've been talking to county to see if there is an opportunity somehow to hook up or at least have some opportunities to connect to the, you know, to the greater sewer system, and then return some of that recycled water to the golf course there too as a benefit. So that's we're talking long term kind of future plans there, but certainly been talking with FRM, who is the contract operator out there, and they're aware that we've been keeping tabs on those violations, and we're trying to work with them to see how they can better manage their effluent and total nitrogen.
Well, there's really not much they can do in the short term because they can't control the dissolved oxygen levels in the influent.
At this point, they're doing daily operational tweaks to the system, unless you're talking about an overhaul on the system, which then We could look at some, you know, denitrification facilities, and that would be a cost, of course, that would be attributed to the homeowners association and whatnot.
So, David, what we have here is a June 30th incident date, a July 31st incident date. Are they violating their permit about once a month on average? More frequently than that? Less frequently?
I'd have to check the records again, but the occurrence happens quite often, and every time it does, I always come back to the phone call to figure out, well, what have you done differently since the last time we talked? So from that standpoint, we're trying to work with them, knowing the constraints of their system now and seeing if there's anything else that they can come up with that might improve their effluent.
Mm-hmm. So we had an enforcement item, is that correct, against them a few years ago?
Yes.
And was that an ACL?
I can't remember if it was in the form of an ACL or not. Are you saying yes, Harvey, it was an ACL?
Yes, it was. I don't remember how much it was, and I know some of it was suspended. We did do an ACL.
Well, have things changed performance-wise with this plant since that we issued that ACL? Would be my question.
I think they did have improvements, but it sounds from what Dave is saying is they have had more problems lately. But there was a period that they were meeting their limits, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Well, what would the board like to do?
Is this fundamentally an inadequate system, or is this a question of how they're operating it? What's our sense?
Looks like the system's not capable of dealing with what's coming in the influent as well as we would like it to be.
Correct, actually. I think it's the system. If you've gone out there, it's just been kind of a makeshift of various pipes and different reservoirs, and trying to kind of tweak the system as they've received it.
I want to just break in for a minute. I don't think the discharger's here, and it's sort of becoming a discussion of their compliance, and so I think it's probably best not to continue that discussion unless there's some item before the board. But if the board wants to ask the staff to provide more information or something about the matter, that would be appropriate so the discharger would know that that they're being discussed.
Okay, but they're in the enforcement report.
Right, I know, and that's an information item to you that here's what's happening. It's not a hearing that's been scheduled about their compliance.
Okay.
So.
All right. Okay. So what we could do is maybe bring this back, and so it's notices an agenda item. We can get a better briefing on what's been going on, what the plan is. But I have one more speaker, Linda Owen.
Before we leave,
yes.
Before we let David go from the podium, David, I mentioned when you were out of the room that I would like staff to consider what is the role of the Wallace Group and how they may contribute to the actual monitoring report, because we know that Wallace Group has been involved in another area in our county where it was discovered that the reports were being altered. Mm-hmm. So, and I know that was published in the newspaper, so not reporting rumor, but things that actually came forward to the public's attention. So I'm hoping that staff will look at that very carefully and make sure that their role in that hasn't been one of suppressing important information for us to understand the real problems with that operation. Okay.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to clarify that if board members have other things they want to know about the facility, that they certainly can express them now. But just to start discussing whether they're in compliance or not in compliance, and at this point without them being present is what
premature.
The concern. Yes.
Okay.
Can I make one more point?
Yeah.
The contract operator is a company called FRM, which is not associated with the Wallace Group. It was originally run by former employees of the Wallace Group, but they're completely separate entities.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. So just, you know, when you do come back to us, if you could, if you do discover that Wallace Management Group does have a role to play in it in any way as a subconsultant or a distant party. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Ms. Owen.
Thank you. I just, Lindy Owen from Los Osos, I just wanted to add a little bit more information on that area of our community. That has happens to have the highest nitrate readings of any of the test wells in the entire area. So it is an area that converges. The Cabrillo Estates housing development comes straight off. All of their water goes into that area. We have horse farms. We have a lot of natural habitat also. So I believe, and the funny thing or the sad thing, ironic thing, is if you took that 28 milligram reading out of those last tests that were done over 6 years ago, you would discover that Los Osos is not out of compliance on their nitrate levels in the rest of the test wells. So I would hope that you can definitely address what's going on at Monarch, and I'm sad to see that it was a bad design and that the community, the 55 homes or whatever, will be forced to pay for the upgrades. But at this point, it certainly is interesting that that was permitted at a time when we were being forced to look at a full sewering of an area called the Prohibition Zone. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comment. All right. This concludes the enforcement item on our agenda.